to trust you? Today is July 4th, 2026. It's a very important day, a very special day in the life of Micah Lack and Kenzie Joy Hewitt. Believing it to be the will of God for them to be partners for life, it is their desire to be married. And so they have requested for all of us to be gathered together today in the sight of God and with them to join this man and this woman in the state of holy matrimony. Having raised and nurtured Kenzie Joy, if her mother and father are pleased to give Kenzie over to enter into a new covenant union with Micah before God, please place her hand into Micah's. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for this day you've given to us. So many things have gone into this day. A lot of thought and effort about important details. Who would be here? How we would celebrate. The steps and the order of things. Because we take this day very seriously. But Lord, help us to take all those details and set them to the side for just a moment. And enjoy this time as we participate with them in this important step in their life. I pray that you would bless this ceremony and this sacred moment, that your name would be glorified through it, but that ultimately it would be reflective of what you have done for us and your love for us as we celebrate Kenzie and Micah's love for one another. So we put this time into your hands and we pray that your spirit would be here and we would be able to see your hand in their new life. And so we put into your hands and we pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. In the beginning of the Bible, when the story of mankind first began, and God describes his relationship with the world, he also immediately describes his relationship for us with one another. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And a few verses later, it says, "He took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it." And with his various responsibilities, then it immediately transfers into verse 18, and it says that the Lord God said it was not good that man should be alone. "I will make him an help meet for him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and to the fowl and to the beast. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof, and he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Therefore, opening of the Bible, "Shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The truth is, in the beginning of the Bible, in order to describe what it means to be human, God not only describes our relationship to him, he describes our relationship with one another. Because that's part and intimate to what it means for us to live our fullest life as he's designed it. But another reason the description of marriage is at the very beginning of the Bible is because the biblical story is not just about us. It's about our relationship with God. Marriage and commitment and devotion and covenant promises to one another beautifully illustrate the kind of committed, devoted, and covenant relationship that God is willing to make with us. The Bible even says in Ephesians chapter 5, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave him." Purchased by showing his love to them, his love for us, through the ultimate sacrifice of giving his life on the cross for our sins. Today, we celebrate the life that Micah and Kenzie are coming together to begin. And we reflect on the fact that the Lord began this journey with these two by working in their lives individually and spiritually before he brought them together. Micah, when he was born, attending Cornerstone Baptist Church, it was a normal part of his life. And he began to hear the gospel preached very often. And having a tender heart to the truth, was open to it and was, in the limited understanding that he had, receiving Christ. Sometimes on a regular basis, trying to do what was right, but didn't necessarily see the life change that the Bible describes that a child of God would have. As a teenager, he realized the need to spread the truth to other people, but before spreading the truth to other people, he needed to genuinely receive the truth for himself. And so when he was 15 years old on Wednesday night, having fully understood God's love for him and Christ's sacrifice for his sins, he realized his need to simply place his faith in Christ and choose to call on the name of the Lord. He began to see that growth in the following years. Kenzie Joy, similarly, grew up in a Christian home. And she was at church at least four times a week. Her dad was in every ministry doing all the things, and she was always there. She said before that she even received Christ herself, she could probably have led somebody else to do the same. And she recounts that almost caused her to be immune to its impact in her own life. She claims she was also the biggest troublemaker in the family. To no one's surprise. And she could sense that need and that the pride and the anger in her own life that her family could also see as well. Her mother pointing out that she needed salvation as a good mom ought to do. A couple years passed and her dad took a position at a church and the pastor asked for their testimonies. And she gave what she remembered, but the pastor even began to sense that she needed Christ herself. And as blunt as that might have felt, she found out later, when she was honest, it was the truth. And after a while, realizing that receiving Christ had not been genuine for her, during a church invitation, Joy came forward to receive Christ herself. Regardless of the circumstances of getting there, Joy recognized that she simply needed forgiveness and cleansing from her sin and a relationship with Jesus. Being in church didn't automatically make her a Christian any more than it makes anybody else one. She had to choose it herself. From there, both of them attended Heartland Baptist College, where they met and have chosen to spend their life together. Both of their stories are a picture of the gospel. God loves every person individually. People come from different families, from different journeys, from different backgrounds. But God works in each of our lives, not only to bring us to Him, but ultimately to bring us to one another. Marriage is a beautiful institution. That was one of the first things that God placed into this world. And the holy union of a man and a woman is a lifelong commitment. It's a design that He has instilled right into the fabric of creation itself. And you all are choosing today to participate in that. Just as God wants to have a committed relationship with us, we ought to have a committed relationship with one another. And so for a couple brief moments, I want to remind you about the commitment you're making today. Marriage is a covenant made under God in the presence of others and to one another. It's more than a legal contract. We're going to sign the marriage license. We're going to tell the government what you did, and they're going to file a paper away. But that's not what makes you married. That's just a status in some spreadsheet somewhere. But what we're doing today is you making a vow to one another that you two will now become one. It's a commitment. It's a separation from others and binding oneself to one other person. It is a union that's emotional, physical, and spiritual, where two people become one. God instituted marriage. He gave man a responsibility even before the woman was there to dress the garden, to keep the garden, to cultivate it, to develop a relationship with God. Micah, it will be your responsibility to provide for, to protect, and to spiritually lead this new family. He brings woman to man to be a help meet for him, not to aid him in his endeavors alone, but to be everything that he is not, and to allow him to be what you are not, to complete one another. God gave us a need for companionship. This is not for us to fulfill some sort of emptiness we have in the life before there is even sin in this world. He says it was good for man and woman to be together. The first time he said something was not good was when man was alone. God gave it to us a need for companionship. But he also tells us that we need to have a relationship with him. Most of our marriage problems are spiritual problems. Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about loving your wife, it talks about being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the song, being thankful, being giving, submitting to one another. As we are more like Christ, we will be what we need to be for each other. And so when God brought the two of them together, He did so, so that they could complete one another. And at the end of that passage, He gives them instructions. In verse 24, He tells them that so a man would leave his father and mother. This new relationship, you are leaving others. You are now each other's best friend. Now, you might have felt that or said that already, but this is a choice. They are my best companion. They are more than the people around you, because the people around you, they will come and they will go. They'll come in for a while. They'll leave for a while. But this today is a choice that no matter what happens, no matter where you go, no matter who you meet, no matter what you're faced with, you will face it together. Leave other people. But the passage itself says leave father and mother. This commandment is to you. You are to lean on, rely on, look to, submit to, and respect each other first. It's also a command to mom and dad. They are becoming one and starting a new family. And so mom and dad, let them have their new family. Leave others, but then cleave. We leave others so that we can permanently support and grow together in a new relationship. And it involves unity. And it says they too will be one flesh. Your life is the other person's life now. You are not two lives anymore, with two schedules, two directions, two goals. You are one home, with one focus and one goal, to please Christ in your marriage. This is a blessed and a beautiful and a sacred relationship that God has made, and you all, He's put you together to enjoy it. Keep it. Guard it. Protect it. Love it. Enjoy it. And cherish it. Build it. Grow in it. And one day when you're older and you're attending somebody else's wedding, you'll be enjoying it with them, looking back on today, not as a day of regret, but as a day that you chose to enter into something beautiful that God made for you so that you could fulfill your deepest potential. Let's pray together over them. Father, thank you for this institution that you've made. I pray that you would help them as they enter into this relationship, that no matter what they go through, and they're going to go through a lot of things, there's a lot of mistakes that they anticipate to make, and there's obstacles that they don't know are coming. There's journeys that they will take that will be exciting, and most of the future lies ahead of them and remains unknown. But Lord, I pray that you would help them to rest in this one thing, that you will be with them, and that no matter what comes, they will do it together. I pray that you would help them to please you and honor you in what they do. Help them to be who they need to be. And help them ultimately to recognize that what they do and their shortcomings that they expose, they show your goodness in our life and what you want us to be. So I pray that you would bless this time. And as they pray over this new relationship, I pray that you would help them as they commit their lives, not only to you, but to one another. We pray this in your name. Amen. My hand, it's yours to hold. I give myself to you. Was mine.
And here's my promise I'm yours to hold. I'll stay here by your side. We are two becoming one. We are two becoming one. What He's joined, I'm not undone. May our love put Christ on display. When we're weak and when we're strong, when it's hard to carry on, oh God, we want your love on display. We are two becoming one.
Here's my life, I lay it down. I give up myself for you.
And here's my will, I submit to you. I will follow where you lead. We are two becoming one.
We are two becoming one. May what He's joined be not undone. May our love put Christ on display.
When we're weak and when we're strong, when it's hard to carry on, oh God, we want your love on display. Oh God, we want your love on display. Oh God, we want your love on display. We are two becoming one.
No union is more precious, and so therefore no other vows are more sacred than these that you are about to assume. Marriage at its core is a covenant between two people. So I believe that the moment that two people become married is at the moment that they make those vows. And so because this is so important, the bride and groom have chosen not only to recite traditional vows, but to give personal vows to one another. Micah.
Kenzie, Joy, Victoria. All names given to set apart this bubbly and beautiful woman before me. As I once again get the opportunity to look into your eyes, I think of a few things. To begin with, you look absolutely stunning. And I have God to thank for that. Scripture states that a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I once used these words as a joke, but I've grown to appreciate the truth behind them. I thank Him because I have found you, and because you are the best thing that has happened to me. God made Eve to be a help to Adam, and she was created meet for the task. And I have found you, Joy, the woman who was created meet to help me as I set out on my journey of life to do what God has for me. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 talks about making vows before God. And it also talks about how serious they are to Him. And it clearly says to not be rash with my mouth. So I took my time in considering the following words. So I'll say them slow. Whatever the scenario, I promise to you, Kenzie, that I will endeavor to love you every day more than the day before. Before God and these witnesses whom I love, I take you to be my wife, who I will hold close from this way onward to cherish.
I, Kenzie Joy, take thee, Micah Edward, to be my husband. God placed you in my life when he knew I need you most. You have strengthened me and encouraged me to love God above everything and everyone. What made me fall in love with you wasn't just who you are, but your genuine love for God and your heart for people. When I prayed for my future husband, God didn't simply answer my prayers. He exceeded them. He gave me someone who is everything I needed, yet even more than what I hoped for. There is no greater joy I can imagine than spending the rest of my life by your side. I truly have found the one whom my soul loves. With you, I found a love that's far better than anything Hallmark could ever write. As Scripture teaches, and as God commands, I promise to honor, love, and respect you all the days of my life. I promise to submit to you and your leadership as you lead our family. I promise to spend the rest of my life loving you, caring for you, and nurturing you. Throughout our relationship, there have been two sayings I repeat almost daily. One of those is, I love you more. Not because I'm trying to win, but because I want my love for you to be bigger than every trial and circumstance that will come our way. Through every bad day and through every good day, I will choose you every day. The second saying we both repeat so often is one that has been true through every season of our relationship. As we begin this new chapter of our relationship, I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know where God will take us or what he has in store. But one thing I know for sure is I don't care what we do as long as we do it together.
Now, Micah, please turn, join each other's hands. In taking this woman that you hold by the hands, do you take her to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you promise to live together in God's holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love her, comfort her, honor her, and keep her, forsaking all others, keeping only unto her so long as you both shall live?
I do.
Kenzie Joy, in taking this man whom you hold by the hands, do you take him to be your lawfully wedded husband? Do you promise to live together in God's holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to obey him, to love him, to comfort him, to honor him, and keep him, forsaking all others, keeping only unto him so long as you both shall live?
I do.
Now repeat these with me. I, Micah, take thee, Kenzie Joy.
I, Micah, take thee, Kenzie Joy.
To be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
Joy. I, Kenzie Joy, take thee, Micah.
I, Kenzie Joy, take thee, Micah.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love, to cherish, and to obey.
To love, to cherish, and to obey.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
Now, may I have the rings? Throughout most of human history, in small communities, the seal of their community and the stamp of their authority was often worn by the ruler on a ring. It symbolized who they were and to who they belonged. Friends would often exchange rings as a symbol of enduring goodwill and friendship. The rings are made of precious metal. They symbolize promise, that it's enduring, that's unchangeable, that's incorruptible. And they are a circle, so that while you may begin to trace the circle, there is no end to it. And it symbolizes a relationship that is never-ending and always endures. And so, Micah, please take the ring and place it on the third finger of Kenzie Joy's left hand. And repeat these words with me. With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
And all my love and worldly goods.
And all my love and worldly goods.
I give to thee.
I give to thee.
Now, Joy, take the ring, put on the third finger of Micah's left hand. And say, with this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
And all my love and worldly goods.
And all my love and worldly goods.
I give to thee.
I give to thee.
Now, as Micah and Kenzie light this unity candle, it represents the joining of two lives and the end of two individual lives existing independently. They are no more two, but one. Pray together. Father, we thank you for this commitment that these two have made. I pray that you would help them. We dedicate it to you, that their lives would show your love to the world, and that they would show your love to one another. I pray that you would help them. I pray that they would be committed to their vows till death do them part. We pray that your spirit would be evident in their lives and in their relationship, that you would give them grace, you would give them comfort, you would give them help, and you would help their minds and their hearts to fully understand what true love really is as they live out their lives with one another. So we pray that you would bless this new union. We pray this in your name. Amen. So having pledged your faith in and your love to each other, and having sealed your solemn marriage vows by the giving and receiving of rings, acting in the authority vested in me by the local church, I pronounce you husband and wife. What a God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Micah. You may kiss the bride. And Mrs. Micah Lack. Thank you. The bridal party and the bride and groom are out there in the lobby, and they would love to greet you on the way out. They also invite you to a reception right behind us in the fellowship hall. So as you go out that direction, make sure you do two things. One is, on the left side, they do have a guest book, which is a Bible, to circle and highlight your favorite Bible verse that you wanted to remind them of, and they're going to take that with them. So don't forget to do that sometime today or on your way out. Greet the bridal party and the bride and groom, and then as you leave, make a right, go down the parking lot, and go into the back room back here, and there I have a reception available for you right now. And so if you want to go there and immediately start eating, they're going to join us later. They're going to take some pictures. And so we ask that you remain seated. We'll dismiss you by row to give everybody a chance to say hi to the bride and groom on the way out. So you can go.